Congregation, let us rise to worship our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's my privilege to greet you all this morning, especially any visitors in our midst. I do that in Christian manner. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing together to his praise from hymn 48, verse 1. If you but let the Father guide you, relying on his faithfulness, he will be evermore beside you. Firm and reliable law of our Lord as that comes to us summarized in the Ten Commandments, the law whereby we not only see our sinfulness, but more importantly, having been delivered through the blood of Jesus Christ from that sin, we are able and set free to use this law as a law of thankfulness to God. We'll respond with the singing of Psalm 119, the verses 28, 29, and 30 in prayer following the law. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and to do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Oh,
Let us continue our prayer to the Lord. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can be together again as your family this morning, your children. We realize that that is a great privilege, and it only comes through what your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has done for us on the cross, given himself totally, that we might belong to you, that we might have that perspective of eternal life, when we know all too well that we have only deserved eternal death. And Lord, we pray that both through the preaching and the sacrament of Holy Supper, you would convict us once again this morning of your grace for us in Jesus Christ, and that only through him do we have the privilege of coming before you. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that you would increase our faith, that you might grant us, on the one hand, genuine repentance and sorrow over our own sins, our lack of love, but also forgiveness of sins and a true desire to live for you in thankfulness, that we might truly sing the words as we have sung them this morning. May in your law my heart be free from blame, that we might not be shamed when we are supported by you in this life, as you shower us with your blessings every day anew. Lord, we ask therefore that you would bless the worship this morning, that we would sing your praises from the heart, that we would hear your word as that is preached, and that you would work that in our hearts by your Spirit. We ask this only by grace, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all glory and honor forevermore. Amen. Opportunity is given to you for the collection this morning, I believe, is for the needy. It is for Needy Sumba, in fact. Following upon the collection, we'll be singing once again a prayer psalm from Psalm 73, the verses 7 and 8. Our scripture readings this morning have to do with Enoch. We read first from Genesis chapter 5. The verses 21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Let's also read what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. The verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's also read what we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49. What is the third petition that is of the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will, and without any murmuring obey thy will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we'll be singing together from Psalm 25, verse 6. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's Day 49 continues the exposition of the Lord's Prayer for us. We've been seeing in the Lord's Prayer that after our address to God as our Father in heaven, we're taught by the Lord Jesus to speak to the Lord initially about his kingdom and about his will, before we come to our own petitions. And we see that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, and therefore also us, to pray, "Your will be done on earth just as it is done in heaven." And this petition implies, if we're willing to pray that to God, that this is something that we yearn for. That just as God's will in heaven with the angels and the other beings that he has created is done perfectly and completely, And therefore heaven is a place of true blessing. That would also be surely the situation on earth. We yearn for that, for we know that it's not quite like that after the fall into sin. We understand, if we pray this prayer, that only by doing God's will is there real happiness, is there real blessing. And therefore, when you pray this, it implies that you hate, that you loathe sin. But more than that, it implies a real relationship with God. And that's what we want to reflect upon this morning, as we see that particularly in the figure of Enoch. And so I've entitled the sermon, Walking with God. And we'll see briefly Enoch's conversion, Enoch's walk, and Enoch having been taken by God. First of all then, Enoch's conversion. I don't think we're used to speaking of Enoch in terms of conversion, but if you look carefully at the text of Genesis 5, which we read together, you see that clearly implied. And the Jewish tradition also made much of this in reflecting upon the life of Enoch. We're told that he lived, first of all, 65 years. And then he begot Methuselah. And then we're told, after that Enoch begot Methuselah, after that, he walked with God some 300 years. And then we're told that again, it's emphasized in verse 24, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. That walking with God is so emphasized as something that belonged to Enoch, and by implication, not to others in his age. The implication is also that Enoch began walking with God after begetting Methuselah. When you read this in the context of Genesis 5, brothers and sisters, you also are led to understand that even the line of Seth at Genesis 5 is following was not really walking with God, with his one exception of Enoch. And it's not that Enoch, before he began walking with God and others around him, did not believe that God even existed. Hardly. After all, paradise and the fall into sin had not been that many years ago, and people were living long enough that people still knew, oh yes, God exists. And Adam and Eve, they got kicked out of paradise for sinning. And men were living under the heavy curse of God upon the world as a consequence. You only have to look at the end of the chapter to see the comments of Noah's father to understand what life was like. Lamech, we are told, in verse 29, called his son Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." You ought not to think that Lamech, Noah's father, was a believer. Lamech is not included later on, when he is still living, in those that are to be saved with Noah's family. He is instead included with all those people whose every thought and intention was evil. That's the way society at the time is described. Not that they don't believe in God. Oh yes, God exists. What they don't do is put their trust in God. They're not in the words of Hebrews, diligently seeking him, because they're not expecting that God is going to bless them. They are living under the curse, and wrongly and sinfully they have gotten the idea that this is their lot in life, that it's never going to change, that God's not going to do anything about it. And it's a dismal and depressing existence. With this one exception, Enoch, who began walking with God. Well, what is that walking? It's very unusual in Scripture to have Scripture say that somebody walked with God. You know, quite a few times in the Old Testament you'll hear of somebody that walked before God, and that implies also submission to the Lord. But it's very seldom that you hear that somebody walked with God. We talked about this a little bit in catechism in the past week. What would that be, walking with God? And in one of the classes somebody piped up, well, surely walking in a way that you're obeying God's commandments. But if you think about it, that can't be the be-all and end-all of walking with God. I would call that walking for God. In other words, if you're living in thankfulness and trying to obey his commandments, you're doing that for him. But it's not quite the same thing as walking with God. In Hebrews 11, following the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, puts it this way: Enoch pleased God. He pleased God by a walk of faith. In other words, trust in God. And the letter to the Hebrews fleshes that out for us. What is that? That faith, that trust in God? It means, says Hebrews, it means that you are genuinely and diligently seeking God, because you know that in seeking God and wanting to be with him and wanting to follow him, he will bless. The words of Hebrews, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And Enoch found that path, despite the fact that everybody around him was ignoring God and thinking that they were cast into this lot and just had to live with it. Enoch was diligently seeking him. To put it in the words of the Catechism, yearning for God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Expecting and trusting that God would bless that. That it wasn't just about a cursed earth. It was about a promise of salvation. Enoch understood that. Enoch began not just obeying God, but diligently seeking him in the expectation that God would reward that. In other words, there's a relationship with God. A real relationship whereby you know God's presence day by day as he goes with you, as you walk with him. That you're never far from him. That he is always with you. That's what Enoch was experiencing. And we read that Enoch was taken by God. In terms of the people of those days who tended to live an enormous amount of time, some 800 or 900 years, God took Enoch at the tender young age of 365. We might think that's really old. But if you're used to people living 800 or 900 years, you understand the comment in Scripture, all of a sudden, he wasn't there anymore. And he was not. For he had been taken by God to be with him. You know, it's interesting that in archaeology we have also encountered the figure of Enoch in the Sumerian tradition, some few generations after Noah and the writings that we find there. There's also a genealogy where the seventh in line is taken by God. His name also begins En, translated into Sumerian from Hebrew Enoch. We get En Menderana. That En, by the way, from Enoch and means Lord or King, King of a city, as it implies in those days. And according to the Sumerian tradition, he was indeed king of the city of Sippar. We're told it was taken to heaven. We're also told, and we know this too from the New Testament and from Jewish tradition, that he was shown in heaven mysteries, that he prophesied, that he was taken from this evil age to see the obedience in heaven and the coming judgment of the flood over the earth. In Enoch, who walked with God on earth, God took him so that he was actually the very first person to come to heaven with a human body, not having died, to be with God, to see that obedience that he was yearning for as he walked with God on earth. You can imagine Enoch's prayer also being, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A true and a fervent desire to diligently seek God in that respect. And that gives us pause to reflect this morning, brothers and sisters. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," are we too yearning that this earth again be recreated, be rid of its sin? Are we yearning for God's will truly to be done here as it is in heaven? And in that yearning, are we diligently seeking for God, walking with him, knowing that Jesus Christ has made that very prayer or petition possible? And that when he returns, that will indeed be the case. And that we therefore yearn for that, and we're working towards that in our life, a life of thankfulness. And if we stumble into sin, that we are dreadfully cut up by that and truly repentant, because it's not our desire. That's not the principle that we want to live by. We want to be with God. And you do that in faith, trusting that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, trusting that he is then ever present with us through that faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Do we dare walk, not just for God, but with God in this life, even as Jesus has promised us, that if we have faith in him, he and the Father will take up residence in our hearts. May God increase our faith and enable us to walk that walk with him unto his praise and glory. Amen. Let's sing together from Psalm 25, verse 6. On behalf of the consistory, there are the following announcements. The consistory will meet Day of Lente, Monday, 7:30 p.m. Home visit this week will be brought to Family T. Kramer at 7:30 on Tuesday. And those are the announcements. Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have awakened our hearts by your word and spirit to be able to see your gospel. Not just to be able to understand it, but to be able to embrace it in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we can not only hear this faith this morning, but also embrace it as you show it to us and seal it to us in the sacrament of Holy Supper. We pray, Lord, that you would use that also to enable us by your strength to walk with you. And Lord, if sometimes in our own lives through weakness and through sin we do not have that experience of walking with you, we pray, Lord, grant us that yearning to have a real relationship with you, and grant by your word and spirit that that might be the case, that it might grow in us. Lord, give us a desire to understand your word, to study that, that by that means you may work with your spirit in our hearts, and that our desire to see your will done here on earth, even as it is in heaven, might grow as well. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of us, and that we would sense your presence even when there are difficulties in this life. We pray also, Lord, for many of us who may be traveling in the coming weeks. We pray that you would grant traveling mercies, and that even though we might depart from our home, that yet even there, you would be with us every step of the way, that we would know your presence, and that we would be able to represent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in everything that we say and do and even think. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, at the Lord's Supper table, we wish to invite all confessing members of this congregation here in Rockingham. Our celebration of the Lord's Supper is closely supervised. If you're not a member of this congregation, or an announced visitor, or we encourage you to remain with us in church, we ask that you do not come forward to join in with eating and drinking at the table. This is in no way a judgment on your faith in Christ. Instead, it is because the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord's Supper is a communal celebration, and that as a church community, we are responsible to keep the table holy. Further, we care for the body of Christ and the unity in faith that we share as members of this church. We call one another to account, and the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a central part to the way we practice this care and discipline for our members. For these reasons, we believe it is good and according to the word of God for us to supervise the Lord's table in this way. Let us now read the form for the celebration of Lord's Supper. You'll find that on page 594, I believe. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." In order that we may now celebrate this holy supper of our Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. And the Ten Commandments are again summarized for us. First, all who refuse to trust in the Lord alone. Second, all who serve him in their own manner. Third, all who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in other ways. Fourth, all who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. Five, all who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. Six, all who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. 7. All who, either within or outside of holy wedlock, do not keep their bodies pure. 8. All who, by stealing, greed, or extravagance, lead a worldly life. 9. All liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food, which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily, we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Now, let us consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper. Namely, that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world, according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has fulfilled for us all the righteousness of God's law. He did so especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. He was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this, he has taken our curse upon himself that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. And he called out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and never more forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him, and he declared, saying, as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you are reminded and assured of my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. It is a sure pledge that I have given my body and shed my blood for you. Otherwise, you would have suffered eternal death. I nourish and refresh your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As certainly as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation, and therefore he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By the Spirit who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, and so we all incorporated in Christ by faith are together one body. For the sake of Christ who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and shall show this to one another not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the almighty heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, We thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Saviour. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. Let us now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith by singing the words of the Apostles' Creed as we find them in hymn 1A.
I'm believing God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, the Lord, who was received by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood, through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. For the preparation of the first table, we will be singing from Psalm 63, verse 1. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Cup of blessing for which we give thanks is communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us read from the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ recorded in John chapter 17. We'll read the first three verses. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let us respond in singing from Psalm 25, verse 4.
Oh,
The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us continue reading from Jesus' prayer, the verses 4 through 5. Jesus speaks to the Father as follows: I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Let us sing again from Psalm 25, verse 7. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's read together the verses 6 through 8 of this prayer of Jesus. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. We respond in singing from Psalm 25, verse 8.
I am one in distress.
The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing, for which we give thanks, is the communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you, remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We read the verses 9 through 11 of Jesus' high priestly prayer. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Let us sing Psalm 25, verse 10 in prayer.
I pray, deliver me. beloved and our Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you've given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We ask you that you would then also be with those who, for whatever reason, were not able to be with us in celebrating Holy Supper this morning, and that you would encourage and strengthen them, admonish them where need be. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Our final song this morning, you will find, brothers and sisters, in hymn 48, verse 4. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.